there is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Please, you can be seated. Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse 1. Turn to your neighbor beside you. Tell your neighbor, I'm not here to joke. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, I'm here for serious business. Tell your neighbor, I'm here for destiny business. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Verse 2. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Somebody say, very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou what? Thou what? Again he said unto me, do what? What did he say unto you? Yes, that was good. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear what? Hear what? The Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, what? When you prophesy, what will happen? There will be a noise. And then what? And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may what? That they may what? I'm not hearing you. That they may what? Let's read verse 10 together. One, two, ready, go. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. What? An exceeding great army. They stood upon their feet. What? I need to hear you louder. They stood upon their feet. What? They stood upon their feet. What? Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our part. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves, and ye and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. and performed it, saith the Lord of hosts. If you are here with me, say amen. I know there are many people here, but you are not my audience. We need to crack something in the spirit before you become my audience. I see in the spirit mighty angels. I see. Reduce a little. In the next few moments, this kind of meeting, when you come, anything can happen anytime. It's not anytime. There is nothing like break. There is nothing like... I believe you already know the foundations of participating in this kind of meeting. So I don't need to say a lot about it. You just drive. If you look at this scripture where we read, something is happening. The prophet was tasked with an assignment. An assignment to raise people that have died from the dead. They have died. They didn't just die. Their bones were dry. It is not that these people are just dead. Their bones are dried. So the possibility of hope has also been eliminated. Sometimes humanity is not just despondent because of their situation. They are even more frustrated if there is no hope. As long as there is hope, the scripture said that there are three that abide together: faith, hope, and love. Now we need to know. I know we have taught a lot about faith, but I studied my scripture, and the Bible doesn't talk much about God having faith. You know what God has? Hope. In fact, the book of Romans chapter 8 spoke a lot. In fact, a lot of places in the Bible spoke a lot about God having hope. The investment of God in your life, considering the kind of weaknesses that you know is inside your members, is a testimony that God came in your life based on hope. Because if it was not based on hope, you are not the kind of person that God can use for the kind of assignment that you have perceived. But God looked upon you and said, let's give you prayer power for like 10 years. Let's see what you can do. Even though the thing came on you, you will still sleep. Sometimes you are consistent, sometimes you are not. The calling that God gave you, when you didn't know anything, God just called you. The question you ask yourself is, I used to ask myself, what did God see? There is no man on earth that can answer it. We can give several answers as the basis, but at the end, we will turn back to God and ask him, why? It is then that God will tell you that there is a hope I have in you. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, there is a hope that God has in you. Ephesians chapter 1, when you go down there, the scripture began to list the things that can happen as a result of our eyes of understanding being enlightened. And when he spoke about it, he said, show me Ephesians chapter. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he might know what is the hope of his calling. This hope now here is not your own hope. It is God's hope. Now, the scripture is trying to say, in every call that God gave a man, there is hope that God had when he gave you that call. So the return in investment is a testimony to the fact that the hope of God has been satisfied. If not, why we call a mortal man? A man that could have died when he's 1 year old. Now you can defend yourself. But what were you when you were just 1 year old? A lot of things could have happened to you before you are able to save yourself. But there is a hope that God had when he gave you your destiny, gave you your calling, gave you your ordination. That hope has been what is driving all the possibilities around you. The investment of God, the endowment of God, the empowerment of God is towards that hope. But the scripture showed us, we came to the book of Ezekiel. It seems as if the hope has gone. One day I was in my room many years ago. I was praying. Suddenly the burden for Nigeria and Africa, especially Africa, came. I was reading the book of Genesis. I wept so much that my sweat soaked everywhere. I felt as if I would die. I was asked, Lord, what is it that Africa did that cannot be forgiven? What is it? Because I was listening to a man of God. He was using the illustration of what happened to, was the man that was drunk? Is he Noah? Is he, am I correct? No. Who? Noah, am I correct? The man that came and looked at one of his sons that saw his nakedness and said, okay, you will not move forward. And they analyzed it and told us that that man that they spoke that word over is actually Africa. I told God, is there no way out? Is there no way out? Even Esau that lost the blessing, they gave him a way out. They told him, the day you become strong, you can break out. That means the men that remain bound are the men that remain little. They don't want to be strong. Strength breaks you out in the spirit. That's a testimony. I have a lot of things to show you from the scripture. Territories are crying in hope, in hope, in hope that you will rise. Watch man. Territories are crying in hope, in hope, in hope. God crying in hope. Romans chapter 8. He said that he that subjected things to vanity did it in hope that a day will come that sons will arise. And on the strength of the rising of sons, territories, men will come into the appearance, the manifestation, the apocalypses of their destiny. Things they carried in their womb that look as if there is no hope. It looks as if there's nothing good. The more we try. I know you are an activist. The more you push, it seems as if Nigeria is going down. We must find the solution in the spirit. It is easy for men to turn to things that is either good or bad if the realm of the spirit is well manipulated to support it. If you're with me so far, shout amen. Filled with dry bones. You just need to look at your family to understand. I know many of us are well dressed here. But when we remove the dress and the suit, there are things that make our eyes to shed tears in the secret. Even our walk with God as men of God is not representative of what God showed us about our calling. In comparison with what we perceive that our destiny carries, we are far departed. What do we do to rescue such a thing? And God gave us, said that even him is hoping. So it seems as if the predicament of humanity is also the predicament of God. In the place that we were stuck, it's not as if God can be stuck, but he was stuck with us in the sense that he identified with our challenges. Valleys full of bones. Justice. Not just bones. What kind of bones? Dry bones. Very dry. Very dry. Very dry bones. It is past hope. If it is that it will be hard, then it's easier to understand. But it is, he said, it's very dry. Very dry. Very dry. I remember when I was pastoring a branch somewhere in this town many, many years ago before anything happened. Of course, I didn't know I would go into anything. Normally, what happens to me is that I'll finish fasting and then I will step out to go and minister. Every day I'm fasting. Every day I'm fasting. So what I notice is that anytime I come and stand on my... Can you hear me? If you can hear me, say amen. Anytime I come and stand on my pulpit, it will seem as if something covered my head. If I like, let me preach from now till tomorrow. It seems as if something covered my head and refused to leave. As soon as I leave there, I will start feeling the anointing. If I enter there, the thing will go. I said, what is happening to me? I will labor, do everything, teach, pray, try everything. Nothing will happen. As soon as I leave there, something will start happening. I will be fasting 6 to 6. I will come and stand on my pulpit. The last time I ate was yesterday night. I will stand on my pulpit in the evening like this and then start having running stomach. And I ask myself, is it not somebody that ate that will have running stomach? Where did this running stomach come from? Until one day, God told me, don't you know that there are powers that sat here? Where you are doing ministry is like what the book of Revelation called the headquarters of Satan. I asked him, what should I do? I think I've told you people some of these things. That's when we took 7 hours prayer, night and day. We cracked it till somewhere in the night, which is we are falling literally on the building. So we are running helter-skelter. Under 1 month, we everywhere open. Things started happening. We even, I know it's a small shop, but we had overflow. Something we tried, did evangelism, printed banner, printed flyer, printed. There is a power that need to give way. Oh. Say after me, Lord, I hold the horns of the altar until something heavy drops for me. You know where is the horn of the altar? It is for men that is, if it's in our language, they call it kwechiri. It's not, you can live if you want. It's not the kind of place that they force you. No, you can live if you want. It's optional. But if you decide to hold it, a sister prayed for some days. And then a spirit rose in her family and said, I will kill you if you pray again. If you are that sister, what will you do again? If Satan can kill you, he doesn't need to warn you. Somebody shout fire! Why does Satan need to tell you that he will kill you? He can't. So after me, I lay hold on the horns and I lay hold on strength. There is something I'm feeling now. We come to the gates. Let it open. Let the gates that answer to our names in the spirit. Let man be brought into chambers of encounter. I speak to the atmosphere. Hear me. Where you are, pray for the next 1 minute. There is something hanging on the atmosphere. You need to lay hold on it. He's flowing, he's flowing, he's flowing, he's flowing. Fire. You can be seated. Show me verse 1. Show me verse 1. So after me, I refuse to be normal. So after me, I refuse to be normal. It's a choice. It's a choice. So after me again, I refuse to be normal. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Somebody said the hand. I didn't hear you. Somebody said the hand. The hand of the Lord. There is a lot of things we can expose from this scripture. But the first that you can see, and that is the most important in this our journey, is the hand of the Lord. A prophetic environment is equal to zero if the hand doesn't appear. Because nothing will happen until the hand comes. Every effort is a human effort. And the result is equal to zero in spiritual context. Work done zero until the hand what comes. You are going to cry like a wounded lion. You will see, you are going to pray. In what weight, Jasper? What weight of the hand needs to descend upon you in such a way that you can be able to deal with what you are looking at? Is a weight. The hand is 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 the hand. Lift up your hands like this. Lift it up. Say, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Put it on your head. When you say it's upon me, you drop it on your head. So tell me, the hand of the Lord is upon me. Yes, that's what you're going to do. Lift it up again. We are going to do it 3 times. We can't get anything done here until that hand descends. Number one. Number two. Number three. You can be seated. The prophet was just a normal man until he found his way to the point where the hand of God descended upon his life. That is the place where a mortal man can be shifted from the realm of mortality to the place of life. Where it seems as if your whole being is being monopolized, galvanized. Somebody sucked you in. It's the hand of the Lord. That's how God possesses men to accomplish things in his name. That's the first thing God wants to do. It is not possible for a man to speak. The word you spoke is just a mere human word until the hand comes. The actions you took counts for nothing until the hand what comes. Somebody said the hand. Everybody is a normal human being. What differentiates us is the hand that is upon our life. That's what differentiates us. Not just the hand, the weight of that hand upon your life. The stronger the weight of the hand of God upon your life, the stronger you can accomplish. There is a destiny that stands before you, waiting for men that can tarry long enough for the hand of God to descend like a weight. That was what Elijah was waiting for. He stood there and asked his servant that went with him. He said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see nothing." The man went back, put his head like this. He said, "There is something you told me. I saw it in the visions. 15 years ago, I was on the campus. You appeared to me and told me you will make me a voice to nations. What is happening? It's been 15 years. I've seen nothing. Can't
your hand come upon my life. He went back again, tested it, and asked his servant, what do you see? He said, I see nothing. He said, no, what I see is stronger than what is happening. He said, my vision is stronger than my experience. He went back again and tarried. Punekai, Padikaba, Patateka Kumpea. He asked his servant, what do you see? The servant said, I see nothing. He said, go back again. Some of you, once you pray once, pray twice. You say, I ask, you say, Apostle, I pray, Apostle, I've done this. No! No! He went back again the fourth time and cried. He went back again the fifth time and cried. The vision I saw is stronger than my experience. I cannot lose this vision. I can't lose hope. I see men in the valley full of forsaken visions, forsaken callings, anointings that have dried up. And the Lord said, if you will come to the place where my hand will come, then even the things that are dead will come back to life. Are you listening to me? As long as I'm in this town, as long as I'm here, even this town will feel the vibration of heaven. It will shake in his core. And it is not only it's not only touch things that we feel the impact. The way people live and go to Lagos and some of those places, that's how they will be coming here. Mark my word that I said it, and it will happen, and it will not tarry. Even if the valley is full of dry bones, if the hand of God comes, I see you. You can turn your valley into a place where giants and warriors can arise from. This is a valley, but we have seen the hand, and it's descending from heaven. And we know by that hand, giants and warriors can arise in their numbers. I see them from afar. I see them with the eyes of the Spirit. And I know that nothing can stop them. He's flowing, he's flowing, he's flowing, he's flowing. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me, you can be seated. The hand of the Lord is the fundamental requirement to step into the prophetic. A prophet is a normal man until that hand comes, my brother. Completely normal until the hand descends. And what the prophet can get done is dependent on the weight that is landing upon his hand. The dynamism of that hand. There are possibilities that come as a result of a man that appeared. That's why we labor in the spirit. That God will hand us the ability to shift things. The Lord said, I'm coming to Egypt. And when I come, I will save my people. I was thinking that God will come only for us to see a man appear. And he was a prophet. And what he had was just a rod, a hand that is upon his life. Listen to me. By the time, you don't even need to go back, you will still be in this conference. And they will be giving you feedback from where you are coming from.
If you hear me, shout amen. If you hear me, shout amen. If you hear me, shout amen. The way you believe it, if you believe you must come back, then it happens to you like that. But if you believe that as you are here, as it's descending on you, it's descending on your mother, descending on your family, descending on your church members, descending on everybody, then it begins to happen. If you believe that the hand can descend now, then it begins to descend. Jesus. You can be seated. I have a few more minutes, then I run. You can't even fight your fellow man the way you are physically. Talk more of fighting invisible things, causing invisible things to take their place. We need something stronger. We need something stronger. We need something. Say after me, I need something stronger. I'm tired of this, my life. Why are people clapping for you? For what? For what? What exactly are people clapping for us about? What is it? And you know the way God works. Anytime he says he's okay, he stops. It's not as if that's the end of him. But that's what you can contain. That's what you can accept. That's what you can carry for the moment. Listen to me. Especially pastors would have experienced this. Sometimes you go for meetings, especially if they invite you. Maybe now, you know, some of us has, you know, become a little bigger and well known, so everybody know you everywhere. But maybe before now, for somebody like me, they can invite you for a meeting and not know that you are the one that they invited. And then you appear. And they small, I went. They invited me to prison many years ago to go and preach. I went with my brother Emenike and some two sisters. When we went there, I've even forgotten the kind of clothes I was wearing. Brother, I don't used to look like anything. It's God, oh. So when I was getting there, I like the way a choir is responding to me. That's good. Huh? That's good. Join your hands together. Lift it up. Let me give you something. At the count of three, shout, I receive. Are you ready now? One. Two. Put your hands stronger, 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 stronger. we say it or not, anybody that stands here is God's mouthpiece and is bringing something to you to turn your life around.
Jesus said, listen,
except they're under power, leave them. Who is that usher?
Jesus, oh my God.
Listen, look at this, my scripture. You can be seated in the auditorium. He said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me.
Satan, he carried.
Tony, have you tried to get some things done and found out that it was actually some days it happened, not all the time? Especially if you are a lover of God, it won't happen all the time. But one of those days it will happen, so that we will learn that it was God that is carrying us all the time. Sometimes you try to get some things done and notice that you were not carried. You start asking God, where are you now? Hey, it's your boy. One day, you know, initially I came before God with the way I know how to approach the things of God. I spoke. Try. Nothing is happening. I told God, see, oh, I'm your boy. You know me. You know me. When I was nothing, you began to teach me. I have not changed another thing. It seems as if they were waiting to hear that. You know why? You are nothing before and you are nothing now. What made difference between before and now is the hand of God. What we make different between now and tomorrow is a higher intensity of the hand. So look at what the scripture is saying. It said, when the hand of the Lord came, he was carried. Oh, so the hand of God can carry a man from one point to another. There is a plane where your destiny issues are discussed. What you need to understand, and that is why there is no basis for comparison or no basis for anything. Every man has a plane where his destiny is deliberated, where he's executed, where the resources that will power what God wants to do through his life is domiciled. So whilst people are celebrating you, bulldozer, they are celebrating, say, you can pray. They are weeping in heaven. They are weeping that you should have doubled your layer. Meanwhile, they are clapping for you. Okay, so just because you are better than the person near you doesn't mean that that's the plane that God ordained for you now. That's what we were discussing yesterday. The hand comes to carry you. Tell your neighbor, the hand comes to carry you. I didn't hear you. Oh my God. Tell your neighbor, the hand comes to carry you. Two people can be physically in one place, physically, but spiritually they are miles apart, like between, like here and the second heaven. The things that can be happening to you close to him can never happen to the other person. I went to a meeting. Okay, I went to visit our center at Aba, and things were happening. And then my brother just came and met me. He said, why is it all the warfares and all the things that are passing through? Why is it that I came and none of them, I was behaving as if I didn't know they existed? It's simple. The hand of the Lord carries you from one point to a higher point. Every other warfare and contention is simply less than you, lower. You don't even get to contend with them. Talk more of winning or not winning. That's not what we are talking about. The hand of the Lord takes you above and over. And the same thing that holds people down, even in the same territory, can't touch you. It will be happening. You will be existing as if it doesn't happen. Your reality is totally different because the hand came. The hand. The problem is that, and that's where I'm going, it takes a lot to get the hand in the way you want. You know what it took Elijah? 7 times tarrying. And I hope you know that many times when the scripture speaks about things, it's like a summary. They just summarize what happened. And he went and prayed and came out again. And prayed and came out again. And prayed. That's not how it happened though. We don't know how long it took, but I'm sure it is longer than it took you to read that portion of the Bible. It is longer than it took you to read that portion. In case you think that as you are reading it, it means that you are already in the reality, you have to ask yourself, Holy Ghost, help me to find out where this man entered and was able to crack this code in the spirit. I don't want to waste my time as a Christian. So in the next 20 years, he said, I've been a Christian for 20 years. And so what? Oh, you think that Christianity is chieftaincy title? Christianity is a life. And every man that have a life must grow in it. Not just grow in it, grow in the purpose of that life. You grow in the life and grow in the reason why the life came. That is why God ordained it. So somebody can be born again now and become a babe for 30 years. And anytime you ask him, you say, I've done this, I've been doing this. No, that's not how it happens. So after me, I will tarry before the presence of God and his hand will come upon my life. I didn't hear you. Say after me, I will tarry before the presence and the hand will come upon my life. The hand of the Lord comes upon a man finally to move him to the place of his ordination and function. They told me many years ago, I know you will not believe it, but I used to be very calm and quiet. In fact, I'm still is in the secret anyway. Very calm, so gentle. That's my mother over there. You can just ask her. So gentle, so quiet. In fact, I can't even say my name those days. But somehow, I'm strong here. So I use my intelligence to defend my incapacity, social incapacity. Are you an Igbo man? They used to call me in this town somewhere, Chedukwuoku. Like my name. Buddha, sit down. Let me see. I see you. Like my name is Chedukwuoku, and the name of my sister here is Nwanne Chedukwuoku. Like my name disappeared into the inability to talk. That's how bad it was. When I remember who I was and see what I am now, I pursue this hand more. It is a total, it's like light and darkness. It's a place that nobody wants to be. Guess what? People define me based on that. And because of that thing I had earlier in my life, one thing I have refused to be is somebody that is, when they look at you like this, they now define you. It's not true. The hand comes and it reveals who you are actually. It is the hand that reveals. I tell you, it's the hand. Some of us will not know who amongst us is the person that we are asking or speaking about until the hand comes, and suddenly we become shocked at the things that is manifested. Even when the person begins to tell us the story about his life, we find out that it tallies with what you do to get the hand to come. But before the hand came, his story, his lifestyle and process is just like anybody's own. So after me, the hand of God. So after me, the hand of God. That makes all the difference. When it comes, the weight of that hand can submerge every single thing that looks like an opposition. In fact, the scripture is speaking, I think, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7. After Samuel started the beginning of his prophetic ministry, he called the children of Israel to Mizpah and began to tell them what the Lord will do if they forsake their idols. And then he brought water and raised an altar for them. And the children of Israel told him that the Philistines had dealt with them, that his job now is to pray for them and deliver them from the Philistines. Samuel told them, don't worry, I know how to get this done. He went inside. The scripture made us to understand that when he prayed for long. After praying, The Bible said the Lord thundered on the Philistines. He thundered on them. The children of Israel didn't need to fight. The Lord thundered. The Lord what? Thundered. That's what happens to every opposition that is on your path. When the hand of God comes, it's too heavy. It's too heavy. You begin to wonder, why was this a challenge to me before? I'm telling you, the things you are praying for, when the hand comes, the hand carry all of them. Some of our prayer point is a waste of time. What we need to cry for, especially as a man of God, is that the hand comes. I know many people, you waste time praying for members, praying for money, praying for members, praying, oh God. I can tell you, because I was born in church, pray for members. Hey God, you remember our prayer point that time? That God from east, from west, from north, should what? Should the Tala mad God to pull people? Hey, what does that is the hand of God? What does the preaching is the hand of God? What brings men to their destiny is the hand of God? What delivers your family is what? What can take over your campus? What can take over your campus? What can take over your campus? What can move your church from this level to another level? What? You are following me a little now. What can change your life and situation? What can change your life and situation? What can change Nigeria? You are correct. It is the hand of God. The Bible even said, woe is them that go down to Egypt for help. He said, because the Egyptians are men, they are not God. And their horses are flesh, they are not spirit. Even the Egyptians can't help. What you need is to stay and find out how to get the hand of God upon you. So after me, this conference is for me. You are not saying it as if you mean it. I hope you know that God can come. Two people will be here. One will be taken, another left. I don't know how it happens, but it's possible. So after me, this conference is for me. Show me 1 Kings chapter 19. Show me the letter verses. I think verse 40. Sorry, Isaiah chapter 18, verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. How many times? I didn't hear you. How many times? How many times? Verse 44. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. What did he see? What did he see? It was the hand. It was the hand. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud like a man's hand. Say after me, a little cloud like a man's hand. That's what you are going for. That's what you are waiting for. Even if it's small, there are people, their own will come with very big manifestation. Your own might just be small. But that small hand is actually the sound of abundance of rain. Small hand. Small hand. I remember when we got baptized in the Holy Ghost. The people that got us filled with the Holy Ghost at Lontenis, University of Nigeria, Sokka, told us that if we go back, we should pray 1 hour every night. Now, this is how we got filled with the Holy Ghost. First of all, I went to the church and I saw a sister on trousers. And she's teaching. I said, no, this is Satan. This is sin. I have never even... Those days, you know where we are coming from? It's not just conservative, from the village. So, we don't even shake sisters that are on trousers. Talk more of having one preaching. So, when I saw it, I vowed. The only reason I was still there is that the person that invited me was somebody that I respect. So, I just stayed behind because of him. I thought I was doing him a favor. I didn't know that I was doing myself. So, as it was going on, the young lady, I was saying, look at these people. Is it because they are just here? Is it because they have the privilege of just talking to us? That do they know where we are coming from? So that's what I was saying. And the young lady started speaking. She was teaching. I'm sure till today she doesn't know what she did. I'm sure she doesn't know. At that moment, she began to say that there are some people here that they will be saying in their heart, do you know who we are and where we are coming from? I almost fell off my seat. That was what I was saying in my heart that moment. That thing arrested me more than anything. So when they said, fill with the Holy Ghost, I don't want to follow them, but what they are doing, I don't have it. So since I don't have it, I follow reluctantly. When we went there and they said, if you want to receive, raise your hand. I stay like this. Then the Holy Ghost opened my mouth and speak. It won't happen. No. So when they were doing it, when they even looked at my face, they got, you know, have you laid hands on people? You are ministry and laid hands. There are some people, if you see their face and the way they posture, that you leave them and move to other. I have seen Benny Hinn leave some people. So me, I have decided I will leave some people too. Ah. I saw him ministering and he was moving on the stage and he said, Lord, you will tell these people that you are the one that sent me and not me. The Jesus is on the stage. He said, run, he wants to touch you. And then everybody is coming. Somebody in the middle, me, I'm not seeing the person. He's touching them and they were just going under power. And one man came, he passed. Nobody touched him. He kept moving, came and stopped. Benny told him, step aside, sir. Step aside. You are blocking the way. Before you go and block the flow for others, says, do what? Step aside. So since that day, I understood that there is such a thing as step aside. Once you are doing, and some people, they will come and block what God is. Move them away. Move them. And that's what ushers should know. Move some of those people away. They will stand like Olumoro. See, and some of them will sit in front. Oh. So you want to sit in front and show me that you are strong. Go to the back and stand. Anyway, that's how my face was. But inside my heart, I was actually more hungry than all of them. So when the whole thing was ending, I told God, Lord, if this is true and you want me to have it, please give it to me. I have not finished saying it. I spoke in tongues. Brothers and sisters, you know that instruction they gave us to go back and pray for 1 hour. I can say that the people, because I know one or two, that were given instructions, we didn't pray. But me, because of what it took me to get to that point, I said, this prayer, this tongues matter, I will not leave it all. I prayed for 1 hour, one semester finished. I didn't stop. By the time I was getting to final year, I normally, when people are sleeping by 1 a.m., that's when I'm going to lawn tennis. I will stay in lawn tennis till 8 a.m. in the morning. Sometimes we'll have outreach crusade. I'll start praying by 3 a.m. and stop by 3 p.m. just to prepare. What made the difference? That same thing that looks as if his hand very small, but you know what was in it? It is an abundance of rain that
further revelation and development has brought us to the move of prayer that we are inside now. It started that day I got filled. That's where it started. It didn't look like much. It was like a hand. Turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, the hand of God is enough. I didn't hear you. Self tell me, the hand of God is enough. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a cloud out of the sea, like a man's son. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Elijah. If you notice, you notice. Oh. Now, somebody that saw him here might say that he is boasting. Is this thing a boast? It is not. He has waited on God till he saw the sign of what he was looking for. So he was bold enough to come outside and declare and say, go even unto the king and tell the king that there is a rain that will stop you on the way if you don't move now. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Cover me, oh glory, cover me, oh. Cover me, oh. Glory, cover me, oh. Wherever you are, I want you to pray for 1 minute and say, Lord, let your hand come upon my life. Let your hand come. When Elijah prayed, the hand of God came upon his life. I pray. Like Elijah, I pray. Like Elijah, I carry. Until the hand comes. Like Elijah, I carry. I will not stop until the hand comes. I will not be weak. I will not be weary. I will not give up until the hand comes. Like Elijah, I go the first time. I go the second. I go the third. I go the fourth. I go the fifth. I go the sixth. I go the seventh until the hand of God comes. I carry. Somebody cry. I will not stop until your hand comes. Glory, cover me, oh. Cover me, oh. Glory, cover me, oh. Cover me, oh. Cover me, oh. I don't want to be naked. Cover me, oh. Cover me, oh. Hey. Haka Jehovah, cover me, oh. Cover me, oh. Jehovah, cover me, oh. In Jesus. What God is doing, he said to do in the lives of people and in the territory, is outstanding. He's saving.
God has gone far and wide to make sure that what he proposed for individuals, for churches, for territories come to pass. Men and God's method. The reason why you are here is not just for something to happen to you, but for you to see things and go back and do the same things. Listen to me. There are several servants of God that he has sent our way for this conference. The Holy Ghost is moving and is driving them. It is not the hand of man that moves. Anything that man orchestrates, it will reveal itself in time because it will lack the capacity to achieve divine purpose. But if it's from God, then the signs will be littered everywhere. I believe that God has sent us his servants so that the purpose that is in his hand will be accomplished. And every hungry and willing heart that is here and following us online will never remain the same. I tell you.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edugu Dejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040. Or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edugu Dejiku. God bless you.